Schuss auf Schachter. The Mishnah in the Gemara in the 8th Parak Masechet Sanhedrin discusses a halacha of rodef and in a certain sense a corollary of rodef. Rodef means when somebody is literally running after somebody, actively trying to kill them. And then the Mishnah speaks about another type of a rodef that appears in Parshas Mishpatim, the Parsha Bava Machteres, where somebody is not quite actively coming to kill somebody, but since they are breaking into somebody's house in the dark of night, we have to assume that if the Baal HaBayis is going to put up a fight, so then the person is going to actually be rodef acharav mahargo, and therefore they're in effect also treated like a rodef. So these two halachas, Bava Machteres and rodef, we're pretty much going to lump together for our purposes tonight, where the Torah tells us that if somebody is coming to kill you, so they admit and you're required to save your own life in order to protect yourself, you're even permitted to kill the rodef. And similarly, if one sees somebody else being rodef achas somebody else, Reuven's being rodef achas Shimon, so then the halacha is that anybody else is permitted and obligated to save the nirdaf if at all possible one could try to avoid taking the life of the rodef. But if all else fails, then the din is that a rodef is in effect chayav misa, in effect anita latila ben hafsho. So I want to speak a little bit about this halacha that a rodef is subject to a misa, that one, either the nirdaf or the acherim, can take the rodef's life. What exactly is the nature of this halacha? So one can raise a first fundamental basic hakira as to what this halacha is all about. One can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand this is that the focus of this halacha is primarily l'hatzolas ha-nirdaf. This is almost falls into the category of halachas like pikuach nefesh. We know that we normally do just about anything in order to save somebody's life. One of the things that we generally don't do to save somebody's life is to take somebody else's life. Ritzicha, shlichus dam is one of those three halachos where pikuach nefesh does not apply to. But here, in effect, the Torah is telling us that since the rodef brought the situation upon himself, so then lahatzolas hanirdaf, our goal is pikuach nefesh, our goal is to save the innocent victim, and therefore the Torah lets us and requires of us in a certain sense to take the life of the rodef, but the goal is to protect the nirdaf. That's one way of understanding what the parasha of rodef, the parasha of Baruch Achteres, is all about. But there's another way of understanding this parasha, that maybe the focus is perhaps not so much or not exclusively on the tzolos and nirdof, but maybe there's an element, there's an aspect of onshin here as well. If the role of a person is being rodef, so he's not such a very nice guy. He's trying to commit an act of ritzicha. Now usually we know the halacha is that if a person is trying to commit an aveira, that doesn't subject him to an onesh of misas beis din. The person is trying to be mechal Shabbos, but he didn't succeed. The person is trying to be mechal Shabbos, but didn't succeed. So usually he's not going to be chayav misas beis din for that. But every once in a while we find a situation where a person is put to death through the aspect of halacha called an onesh, even though they didn't really quite succeed in what they were trying to do, which is in fact the theme, at least part of the theme of the Perek of Ben Sarah Morah. But the Gemara, but the Mishnah speaks about the Ben Sarah Morah is also needed al-Shem Sofo. He also didn't quite do anything that really should be Mechayev and Misa. All he did was he stole, stealing, it's terrible aveira, but it's not Chayev Misa Beis Din. He had a little boss of a yayin, also not a good thing in excess, but in terms of being Chayev Misa Beis Din, he really shouldn't be Chayev Misa Beis Din. It's a Chiddush HaTorah that he's almost Nidan Hashem Sofo, that he's punished for something that he didn't quite do yet. If we would have let it get out of control, out of hand, then he would have potentially become possibly a Ratzeach. So maybe that's the similar idea of a rodef as well. Even though he didn't quite do the aveira, but he's otot, he's about to do the aveira. And if we don't stop him, so then he most probably will do the aveira. So maybe the Torah is mechadish here that there's an element of onshin. Now it's not the regular dinim of onshin of Mises Beis Din, it's not done in the context of dinim mamonos with 23 dayonim and edim and kabbalas edus, etc. It's done on the spot, but fundamentally it's also an aspect of onshin as well. So we have at least conceptually two different ways of understanding what the goal of rodef / bav machteres is. Is it fundamentally geared towards atzolas ha-nirdof? Is it almost like a pikuach nefesh type of halacha? Or is this more of an onshin type of halacha? Or maybe a combination of the two? So there is a gemara, somewhat of a startling gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, the 8th Perek, that at least at one stage, at least as a havamina, the gemara introduces the idea of rodef and bav machteres being a type of an onesh. The gemara has a havamina that maybe the din of bav machteres wouldn't apply on Shabbos. A strange avamina, that if I would see somebody being bav machteres, so maybe the whole parsha of bav machteres only applies on the Yemos HaChol. The question is, what kind of Havamin is that? So the Gemara says, well, I would have possibly said that it's similar to Onshin Beis Din. We know there's a special halacha that Beis Din does not put somebody to death on Shabbos. So the Gemara says we have a tradition that that applies not only to the Yisr of literally lighting a fire, but it also applies to the Din of Onshin Beis Din, Sreifa particularly, and then we derive from it all the other Onshin Beis Din, all the other Mises Beis Din. But Beis Din is not ma'anir somebody on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I would have thought that just as Beis Din is not ma'anir somebody on Shabbos, so too Bava Machteres doesn't apply on Shabbos, kamash malon, that it's not true. So the question is, what was the Havamin and what was the Maskana? So the Havamin, it clearly was that there's some kind of a dimension, Onshin here. What was the Maskana? Was the Maskana that the Havamin was absolutely wrong? That we misunderstood what the nature of Rodesh Bava Machteres is? You thought it was Onshin, but it's taka not true. It's really Hatzalah Sanirdov, and therefore, in the realm of Hatzalah, obviously there's no difference between Shabbos and the rest of the week. Well, maybe no. Maybe there was a degree of the Havamina that actually stands. And maybe the Havamina really is true, that it is a dimension of Onshin. But maybe this type of an Onshin can take place on Shabbos. Maybe the din of Onshin, not Onshin on Shabbos, is only a din in Beis Din's Onshin. Or maybe the Maskana is that in addition to an Onesh, there's also an element of Hatzalas and Nirduf. So just because the Onesh is not appropriate on Shabbos, maybe Hatzalas and Nirduf would be appropriate on Shabbos. So it's not quite clear what the Maskana of the Gemara is. At least at one stage, the Gemara thought that there was some dimension of Onshin here. And it's not quite clear whether that Havamina stands Lamaskana. Are there any other halachas about Rodef and Bava Machteres that seem to point in the direction of this idea of an Onesh? So the Mishnah and the Gemara have an entire discussion about the principle of Kimla B'Dramine as it plays out in the realm of Rodef and Bava Machteres. You know, the basic halacha of Kimla B'Dramine is based on Sukkim, not in this week's Parsha, actually next week's Parsha, in Parsha's Mishpatim, about if a person does something that at the same time there would be Chayav Misas Bezin for, and they would also be chayav mamon for. So the din is that they are punished with the more severe of the punishment, of course the Mises Beis Din, and the potter and the mamon. The Mishnayos give many, many examples of this. Those who learned Elun Haris last year, I think may have heard about this once or twice. This din of Kamla Gramine, Sugis in the third Berak Ksuba, seventh Berak of Akam, many, many places in Shas, the Sugis of Kamla Gramine. The one thing that seems to be true about Kamla Gramine is that it seems to be in the realm of Onshin. It's a halacha that Beis Din cannot mete out to Onshin. You can't give the onesh for Misa and the onesh for Mammon. Come to the Ramina, we give you the more serious of the two. So the Mishnah and the Gemara in the 8th Berakha Masecha Sanhedrin talk about how this halacha of Kamla B'Dramine plays out in the Sugya of Rodef and in the Sugya of Bava Machteres. But if a person is a Bava Machteres, and in the process of being Bava Machteres, he happens to break something. He's a little bit of a klutzy Bava Machteres. He breaks a chavis, he breaks a barrel in the process of being a Bava Machteres. So the Mishnah says, the good news is, he doesn't have to pay for the barrel, because Kamla B'Dramine, since he was chay of Misa, so to speak, for the moment that he was Bava Machteres, so that's a poter from the Chi of Mamun. So that Mishnah, that Gemara, seemed to be somewhat startling. What kind of a poter is that? What kind of halach is that? That's poter him. The din of Kamla B'Dramine is a din in Onshin. So if you hold that there's an element of Onshin in the sugya of Rodef and Bava Machteres, albeit not an Onesh Beis Din in the classic sense of the word, but at least it's in the parish, at least it's connected to the parish of Onshin, so then I can begin to understand why Kamla B'Dramine plays out in the sugya. But if you hold that Rodef and Bava Machteres have nothing to do with Onshin, they just didn't let Tzolos and Nirduf, so why in the world does Kamla B'Dramine make any sense? This has nothing to do with Kamla B'Dramine. So the Pashas Advarim is that at least there's some element, there's some aspect of Onshin here, seems to be indicated to us by the fact that Kamla B'Dramine does in fact play out. Even though Kamla B'Dramine does play out in terms of Rodef, in terms of Bava Machteres, one could raise a further question, just which aspect, which type of Kamla B'Dramine is really taking place here. So those who remember back from the third parak of Ksubas from last year, that there are really two different types of Kamla B'Dramine. There's the classic example, when the person is literally Chai of Misa. A person, some of the examples that the Mishnayos give, a person is Soref, is Bayesh HaChaveiro on Shabbos, he burns down his friend's house on Shabbos, and he's caught by the Edom, and he's brought to Beis Din, and he's mamish put to death, he's chayav misa, literally put to death. And the Mishnah says, so he's potter from paying the mamon. He doesn't have to pay for the house that he burned down. That's classic. That's the model of Kamla B'Dramine. Then you have another question. What if you have a situation where the person in the end is not really going to be put to death? Why is he not going to be put to death? Because there's some technicality, well, simple technicality. It was b'shoigeg. He didn't even realize. He never even heard of Chilul Shabbos. So the halacha is that obviously he's not going to literally be put to death. Would we say that he has to pay the mammon or not? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, of course he has to pay the mammon. Come the drama is a chiddush haTorah that if you're chayav misas beis din, then you're potter from paying the mammon. But if you're not chayav misas beis din, so like mehechatesi, why should you be potter to pay the mammon? So the Gemara quotes a famous Tana, it's called Tana Deve Chizkiya. But Tana Deve Chizkiya derives from a series of psukim that what we would have thought is not correct. Tana Deve Chizkiya tells us that it's not true, that the Torah compares just as chayav misas mezidin, just as a person who's literally chayav misa, there's a ptur mammon. A chiddush haTorah number two is that even a chayav misa shogegin is also potter from mammon. So again, that's a chiddush. Maybe not everyone agrees to that chiddush, but we paskin like that chiddush of Tana Deve Chizkiya, that not only chayav misas mezidin, not only literally chayav misas based in potters from mammon, even chayav misa shogegin potters as well. So now one can ask the next question. Well, which of these two categories of Kam of Dramine does Rodef and Bab Machteris fall under? Because on the one hand, the Rodef is never really killed. I mean, very often the Rodef is not killed, but very often the Bab Machteris is not actually killed. So he wasn't literally put to death. So maybe that would lead us to believe that the only reason why this is called Kam of Dramine is thanks to Tana Deve Chizkiya, because Tana Deve Chizkiya was Mechadish to us that there's a din of Kam of Dramine even on Shegigin, even in a case where Misa is never really carried out. So therefore, Rodef and Bab Machteris can qualify as a Kam of Dramine. But Lu Yitzuya, that Tana Deve Chizkiya would not be accepted. There may be some opinions in the Gemara that don't accept Tana Deve Chizkiya. So according to those opinions, maybe one could argue that the whole parsha of Kam of Dramine doesn't really make sense by Rodef and Bab Machteris, because Lamaisa, the person is not really put to death. So one could argue that the existence of Kam of Dramine by Rodef and Bab Machteris means that we're accepting Tana Deve Chizkiya. It is Kam of Dramine, but it's in a certain sense the lower form. It's the form of somebody who wasn't actually Chayav Misa. Or maybe one could argue, no, maybe one could argue that Rodef and Bab Machteris are better than Chayav Misa Shagigin. What I mean better is that Chayav Misa Shogegin, so there was never a Psak Din. It was impossible for there to be any moment of time when there's a Psak Din that the person is Chayav Misa. You can't be Goymer Din on somebody who did the Aver B'Shogeg, so it was never Nigma Din Ola Misa. Masha'engen, a Rodef, was in a certain sense, I don't mean in a literal sense, Nigma Din. There was no Din, there's no Beis, there's no Sanhedrin, no Edim, but it's quote unquote Nigma Din Ola Misa. At the time that he's in the process of being Rodef, it's Chalala, a shame, Chayav Misa. He is Mechuy of Misa right now. He is Nitan Lemisa right now. So he's not quite the person who's the Chayav Misa Shogin. So the Rodef and the Bab Achter is almost fallen between the cracks. They're not Chayav Misa's Mezidin, they're not someone who's literally put to death. On the other hand, they're not quite Chayav Misa Shogin either, because the Chayav Misa Shogin, there was never even the possibility for a Psak Din, whereas the Rodef and the Bab Machteres are really somewhere in the middle. The question is, does it really make much of a difference? At the end of the day, so we paskin that Kam of Dramine applies across the board. It applies to Chayav Mezidin, it applies to Chayav Shogin, so who cares where in the world in Lomdus we want to place this Rodef, this Bab Machteres? At the end of the day, Kam of Dramine applies across the board, so Manaf Kamina Ladina, what type of a Kam of Dramine we're going to call it. So we have to take a little bit of a step back to see whether there may be a very real nafkamina, there may be a fundamental part of the sugya of Rodef and Bab Machteres to understand precisely where and which type of Kam of Dramine these two individuals fall under. So we need to take a little bit of a step back, a different sugya. It's a sugya that appears in several places in Shas. It's a sugya that's called Esra and Asra Torah Afilu Baal Imo. So the Gemara has somewhat of a startling statement in a few places in the Gemara, in the Bekavim of Metzia, that there's a parsha in the Torah, in Parsha Kiseite, called Eston Zona, which basically means if a person gives a gift to a Zona for the act of Zos, he gives her a sheep, gives her an animal, gives her something that would otherwise be able to be brought as a korban. So the Torah says it becomes puzzle. Once it's given as Nona, once it's given as Chibus, once it's given as payment for her act of Zos with him, so then it becomes possibly all and void for being brought as a korban. That's the parsha of Eston Zona. So the Gemara says, "I'm a Rav Esna Sotera Filu Balimo," that the din of Esna Zona applies even if the person is not just mezana in a certain sense in a lesser of an avera, but even if he's mezana with his own mother, he's mezana in a way that he would be chayav misas based in for being mezana with this woman. So the din of Esna also applies. What in the world is the Chiddush of Rava? Why would one have thought otherwise? And the Rishonim explained that it would have made a lot of sense to say otherwise. Because when the person is Baal Imo, so he agreed to pay to pay his mother, this animal, as an Esten Zona, so based on the principle of Kamav Rabine, presumably he's not really Chayef to pay his mother this animal. Because since at the same moment that he becomes Nischayef to pay her for the services, the Schirus Polim that he agreed with her, at that same moment in time, when he's Mezana with her, so he becomes Chayef Nisus Beis Din. So we should have plugged in the rule called Kamav Rabine. Kamlud Rabine would have meant that he doesn't really have to pay her. Even if he chooses at a later point to pay her, that's Maturus Matana Biyama. No one's forcing him. The halacha doesn't require him to pay it. Kamlud Rabine declares that he doesn't have to pay, since he's Chayav Misa for the same moment. Person gives a gift to a zona, that's not called an Esten Zona. The only time that the halacha declares that this animal is possible akrava is only if it was given b'teres esnan, if it was given b'teres chiyuv. He was obligated in the sense of schiris poilim to actually pay her, and he gives it b'teres esnan, that's called an Esten Zona. Anything that he gave on his own as a gift, that's not chalon and Hashem esnan. So Rava comes to negate this. Rava comes and tells us, no, Esnan Asatera Fila Balimai, that the din of Esnan Zona applies even though he was Balimo, even though presumably there should have been a din of Kamav Dravine, Afa Pichain, that's the din. And the question is, so Taka, why is that the din? We built up such a good case that the din shouldn't be that way. We said it makes a lot of sense that there shouldn't be a din of Esnan Asatera. So why does Rava say with such certainty, no, that's the din, Esnan Asatera, how could that be? What happened to Kamav Dravine? So there's a major machlokes of Rishonim as to what the solution to that problem is. What exactly is Rav coming to teach us? Why is this not in effect covered by Kamav Dravine? So the Meiri in Maseches Bava Kamma quotes one interpretation that the reason why Kamav Dravine doesn't apply here is because this is a different type of an obligation. This is a different type of dinim hamanus. Kamav Dravine applies in what we call in halacha is chayves haTorah. A person damages somebody, a person has other things, other actions that he does that bring about his chayvas haTorah. So that's the parasha of Kamav Dravine, that the Torah doesn't impose penalties of mamonos at the same time that the Torah imposes penalties of Misa. But, says the Meiri, if a person is mekabel upon himself an obligation, that's what's called his chayvas midas. If I accept upon myself, so I borrow money, I accept to pay you back. I buy something, I accept to pay you back, to pay you for the item. I engage you in an act of schiros, and I agree to pay you for your services. Those are not his chayvas haTorah. Those are his chayvas midas. And maybe the whole parsha of Kamav Dravine doesn't make any sense. So according to the Meiri, that's exactly what Rav is trying to tell us. Esnan Asatera Fila Balimo, that don't make the mistake to think that Kamav Dravine applies here, because this is a different type of a monetary obligation that's not subject to Kamav Dravine at all. So in contrast to this pshat that the Meiri suggests, both Rashi and Tosfos don't say this. Rashi and Tosfos say no. Rashi and Tosfos, both in Bava Kamma and Rav Metzia, say that in reality Kamav Dravine does apply here. This is a perfect candidate for Kamav Dravine, and Afa Pichev, it's still called an Esnan. Why is it called an Esnan? So Rashi and Tosfos both say the reason why it's called an Esnan is because the din of Kamav Dravine is not an absolute poter. It's not a complete poter. It's only a poter in Dine Adam, but it's not a poter in Dine Shemayim. So there are sugyas in the Gemara, beginning of the sixth Pekha Bava Kamma, other places, that sometimes you have a situation where the Beis Din of Shalmata can't force you to pay something, but Klapei Shmaya, you really have to pay. You really in Beis Din Shemal, you are have to pay. So what Rashi and Tosfos are telling us is that idea that you have to pay Mammon and Beis Din Shalmala is not just something between you and the Rabbanu Shalom. It's not just something, you know, you want to get a kapara, you want to make sure you have a clean slate, it's more than that. Is that fundamentally you're called chayev. Fundamentally, when you pay something that you chayev adidi shemayim, it's chalon and Hashem tashlumen. It's chalon and achovas tashlumen. Beis Din's hands are tied, they can't force you to pay it, but if and when you decide to pay it, it's considered up the halacha, even in this world, in Beis Din Shabbat and Olam Hazeh, it's considered to be a tashlumen that the halacha, in a sense, required of you. My nafkamina, nafkamina l'gabi esnan, so that's exactly what Rashi and Tosfos say, that since you're chayev to pay in Dine Shemayim, even though Beis Din can't touch it, Beis Din can't force you, but since you are obligated to pay in Beis Din Shalmala, If you go ahead and you pay it in Beis Din Shalmati, you choose to pay this zona for our services, you bought Esnan Asatof Yud Balimo, then we do declare that it's called an Esnan. We don't just say it's called the Matana Bi'alma and therefore it's Kashal Mizbech. No, we declare that Al Pidin, even in this world, it's called an Esnan Zoyna, and therefore it becomes Pasol Lak Rav Agabi Abizbech. So it's the din of Beis Din Shalmala that in effect now transforms this payment to be called a chiyuv tashlum and a chiyuv paralim, and subject to the psul of akrava, the psul korban of tenzayda. So a very, very different shot from the Miri. According to the Miri, kamud ramine didn't apply here bechlal because it was a different type of tashlumin. According to Rashi and Tosfos, it did apply here, predicated on the assumption that in kamud ramine you're obligated to pay back at least, let's say, sedei shemayim. So Tosfos in the sugyas in Sanhedrin, in the eighth parak of Sanhedrin, in the sugyas above Machteres, Tosfos gets into a lot of trouble based on this pshat, because there is a Gemara in the eighth parak of Sanhedrin where the Gemara quotes a machlokes about going back to the case that we spoke about before about Bava Machteres. If a person is Bava Machteres v'shiveres achodis, he breaks into somebody's house, and in the process, while he's breaking in, he breaks the person's barrel. So the Mishnah says he's potter. It's neither benafsho, it's chayav misa, so to speak, and therefore he doesn't have to pay for the barrel. So the Gemara quotes in Machlekes HaMeroyim, what would the din be if he didn't break the barrel, but he took the barrel? He takes the barrel, and Beis Din finds him a week later, and he still has the barrel. Will we force him to return the barrel or not? So one day the Gemara says, no, he's not mechuyev to return the barrel because he was in effect cutting the barrel. Since he took the barrel at a time when he became chayv and misas Beis Din, so the din of kamud ramine will extend not only to if he broke the barrel, b'shas ma'isa, but even if he took the barrel, even if the barrel is still intact in his house. And the Gemara quotes another day that says that that's not true. That kol zman that the barrel is still there, that's not called Beis Din forcing him to pay. That's called just returning what the other person's object is. The din of kamud ramine means that Beis Din can't make you pay money out of your pocket, but with kol zman that the chavis is still intact, so you're just giving it back what belongs to him. You were never really koneh it anyway, and therefore the whole parsha of kamud ramine wouldn't make any sense. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes about this. So the Gemara tells a story that one time this really happened, that it actually happened to Rava, that some people broke into Rava's house, and they stole his barrels, and the psak din, that we passed in the halacha, that if the barrel was still intact, so then you have to return the barrel. That's not covered by kamud ramine. So the Gemara says that Rava didn't want to accept the barrels back. Why didn't Rava want to accept the barrels back? Because some Amarayim Rav, maybe somebody held that kamud ramine applies. So Rava wanted to go to Finn Mishra said that even though we don't paskin like this, we paskin that kamud ramine really doesn't apply when the barrel is still intact. The chlal, the whole parsha doesn't apply. That's not tashlum, that's hashava. But in deference to those who disagreed, so Rava as a midas chassidus didn't want to take the barrels back. So Tosfos on the spot asks the question. He doesn't understand, says Tosfos. He says, these ganavim, they were giving the barrels back. At the end of the day, they were told by the Beis, they were giving the barrels back. So since Rashi and Tosfos both hold that Yechayev Latesa De Shemayim, so what was the problem? Why didn't Rava take the barrels back? Rava somehow didn't want to take something that wasn't Magiyah to him, something that wasn't coming to him. Even according to those shittas that we don't paskin like, the kamud ramine would apply, he's still chayv l'tzeis de shemayim. So what was the big deal? So what kind of midas chassidus is that? Midas chassidus makes sense, but it's a midas chassidus. This is not even a midas chassidus. It doesn't make any sense. If the halacha is that at least in midas shemayim, those ganav machayv to give it back l'chol adayis, so why did Rava refrain from taking the barrels? So Taisa suggests that maybe the reason why Rava didn't want to take the barrels is because the ganavim, they weren't such lamdorim. They didn't come to the ship sicha. They were learning a different practice of the sechts. They didn't learn the sugya. So the ganavim thought that they were really mechuyev to give the barrels back. So Rava didn't want to take the barrels back. It was like a little bit of a mechach tos. That if the ganavim would have come forward and said, listen, we want to be chayz b'tshuva, we want to be yetzidei shemayim, we want to give the barrels back the turis and say yetzidei shemayim, Rava would have been the first one to take his barrels back. But that's not what the Ganavim said. The Ganavim said, all right, they grudgingly gave him back because they thought they really had to. So Rava felt that was also Midas Chassidus, not to take the barrels back because they were almost being given back on false pretense according to the sheet that we don't paskin like. So Tosfos has to work very, very hard to try to explain what the Midas Chassidus of Rava was. So the Ketzos is bothered with this sugya, one step past where Tosfos left off. Comes the Ketzos and says, if you take a look at Rashi in Bava Metzia, so when Rashi, when the Gemara quotes the sugya of Esnan Asa Torah, Afilu Ba'alimo, So Rashi says the same shot that we quoted before from Rashi and Tosfos, that even in case of Kamba Vidramina Yechayv Latzeis Dei Shemayim, but Rashi Bav Metzia adds one thing that Tosfos doesn't have, and Rashi himself doesn't have in places. Rashi writes, in the end of a long Divrei Maskil Bav Metzia, so Rashi writes, and by the way, whenever there's a din of Chayv Latzeis Dei Shemayim, in the case of Kamba Vidramina, not only are you Chayv Latzeis Dei Shemayim, but the possibility of Tfisa exists. That let's say if I'm chayev to pay you something, let's say shemayim, and you go ahead and you tofes it, you're not waiting for me to do tshuva. You're not waiting for me to be from. You go ahead and you take it yourself. So Rashi says that tefisa is going to work. Normally, if I have a sichsuch with you in Mammon, and the Beis Din's hands are tied, the Beis Din says, well, I'm sorry, we can't help you. So normally, you don't have the right to take something. Tfisa, we call that gedeven. You can't just take things from people. You have to have a hefty. Beis Din has to say that you're entitled to the money before you take it. So here you have a funny situation where Beis Din says, listen, we can't really help you because it's kim levidramine, but you are chayv otzeis de shemayim. And Rashi says it doesn't stop here. That once Yechayv Latzeis Dei Shemayim, if the other Baldin decides to take the Din of Shemayim into his own hands, he has a right to do so. So Tfisa is going to work. That's Rashi's Chiddush. So comes the Ketzos and says, based on this Rashi, we have to go back to that complicated story with Rav and the barrels and Tosfos and rephrase the question. Says the Ketzos, Bishlama, if all you have to do for a killer b'dramine is Latzeis Dei Shemayim, that's all. And assuming not like Rashi, assuming there would be no din of Tfisa, so then I can begin to understand where Tosfos is coming from. Tosfos says, well, for me to take those barrels, if the other person didn't really want to give them to the Lev Shalom, Latzeis Dei Shemayim, that would not be right. But, says the Ketzos, if there's a din of Tfisa, if I have a right to take the barrels on my own, the other guy's screaming, yelling, and kicking, and I could still take the barrels. There's nothing wrong with it. Tfisa works. So then, why did Rava care what their pretense was? Why they were giving the barrels and not giving the barrels? If Rashi's right, that Latzeis Dei Shemayim means even the possibility of Tfisa, so then, what was wrong with Rava taking the barrels? So Hadar Kushal L'Duchta. So comes the Ketzos and says, it must be that we have to go back to the drawing board, back to the beginning, and reevaluate this din of Kamba V'Dramine, particularly as it relates to Rodef and to Baba Machteris. So comes the Ketzos and he quotes a Maharshal. Quotes a Maharshal who seems to say, at least the way the Ketzos understood the Maharshal, that this Chiddush that Rashi and Tosfos have, that in Kimle Vidramine, the Halacha says that Yechayv Latzeis Dei Shemayim, and Rashi adds on as a corollary, even Tfisa works. So comes the Maharshal and says, that's not always true. Not all Kimle Vidramines are created equal. Sometimes Yechayv Latzeis Dei Shemayim, sometimes Tfisa will work, and sometimes those statements are not true. What does that depend on? So the Maharshal suggests that it depends on the following. Going back to what we spoke about at the beginning of this year, we spoke about different types of Kamla V'Dramine. There's Kamla V'Dramine when you're mamish Chayav Mises Beis Din, and there's Kamla V'Dramine when you're not quite Chayav Mises Beis Din. It's just showing it means you're almost Chayav. We're not quite going to kill you, but it's a Chiddush of Tanad V'Chizkiya that's also Kamla V'Dramine. So comes the Ketzos and explains what the Maharshal is driving at. The Maharshal is a little bit cryptic, but the Ketzos explains, this is what the Maharshal is driving at, that when do we say that there's a chiyuv Latzeis Dei Shemayim in Kamla V'Dramine? When do we say that you still have to pay? And when do we say that Tfisa makes sense? When do all of those statements follow? When are those statements true? That's true if the person wasn't Mamish Chayav Mises Beis Din. But if the person was mamish chayv, he was literally put to death already, so then once he's put to death, then there's no chiyuv latzeis dei shemayim. Then there's no din of tfisa. Then all of the above falls by the wayside. My high, what's the svara to say this? So the Ketzos begins to say it, and others finish up the job. It's probably based on a Ramban at the beginning of Maseches Machos. The Ramban has a yesod at the beginning of Maseches Machos, but there are really two different ways of understanding what Kamla V'Dramine is. One can understand Kamla V'Dramine as being that, in a certain sense, Yesh B'chla Masai Amona. It means when a person pays with his life, so then everything is included. I gave you everything. B'chol Nafshecha V'chol Miyodecha. I already lost my life. Person is ready, was killed, so then it's as if he paid everything. He already paid every last penny on this claim as well. So when we say Kamla V'Dramine, it could be not that the person is mamish potter from paying, but the person paid already. The halacha views it as if yesh bechlal onesh ha'chom or onesh ha'kal. That's one way of understanding Kamla V'Dramine. Or another way of understanding Kamla V'Dramine is to say it's a poter. Yechayim Mises Beis Din. That's a poter from the onesh mamon. Not that you paid the onesh mamon. So how do you understand Kamla V'Dramine? Kamla V'Dramine mean that you did pay when you when you chayim mitzvahs based in, you in effect won his chayim mamon, you paid the check already? Or do I say, no, you're not mechuyav to pay the check? So this is where the Ketzai says that this is where the two parts of Kamei V'Drahmanei part ways. That in a case where the person was mamish killed, they literally put him to death, so then you could say the Svar of the Ramban. Then you could argue that it's Yesh B'chla Masai Abana, that it's as if he paid the money already. If the person wasn't killed yet, so then what kind of a Yesh B'chla Masai Abana? Nothing happened to him yet. The only kind of Kamei V'Drahmanei that you can call that is to say that the Misa was a poter from the Mamon. Not that it was Yesh B'chla the Misa. No, I didn't pay the money. And that mechuyev to pay the money. So there are two very, very different ways of understanding Kamei V'Drahmanei, and may be true. One is true for the chayv misas mezidin, and one is true for the chayv misas shagigin. So in a case where the bezdin literally killed the person, then you could argue once they kill him, and then he paid the money already. He wrote the check was already sent. If they didn't actually kill him, then nothing happened to him. So what kind of Kamei V'Drahmanei is that? That's a different kind of Kamei V'Drahmanei. That's a time to be Chizkiya. That's a conceptually different type of a Kamei V'Drahmanei. That's a Kamei V'Drahmanei that says that you're potur, but you didn't actually pay it yet. So comes the Ketzos and says, my nafkamidi between the two? There's a tremendous nafkamidi between the two. When does it make sense to say that you're still chayav, let's say, Sidei Shemayim? When does it make sense to say that Tfisa is still going to be an option? That's if I didn't pay it. But if I mamish paid already, what do you mean chayav let's say smart? I paid already. I wrote the check already. You don't see it because you didn't read the Ramban and Makas. Yesh b'chol masai amana. I paid it already. So says the Ketzos, if and when you paid with your life already, so then I'll be din, you paid the moment also. So what's shayach to say that you still chayav let's say smart? What's chayav to say that you still chayav to have, that you could still do tefis? It doesn't make any sense. So kol zman that you already paid with your life, then it's over, then it's nothing. Then b'chi agavna, there's no chiv let's say smart, there's no tefis and nothing. The only time we can talk about the possibility of a chiv let's say smart at the dinner of tefisa, that's if you didn't yet pay. So comes the Ketzos and says, he thinks that that's the answer to what's going on in the sugya in Maseches Sanhedrin. So comes the Ketzos and says, which one of the two Kamei V'Drahmaneis is Rodef Bo Machteres closer to? So remember, when we entertained this possibility that we're not quite sure which type of Kamei V'Drahmanei Rodef is, we gave two tzedakim. We said, either this is Shogin, because at the end of the day he didn't pay, or maybe this is closer to Mezidin because he was Nischayev already. It's not Shogin. Shogin, he wasn't Chayev altogether. Here, we had a Gmar Din, a quote-unquote Gmar Din, that he's Chayev to pay. He's already Gavar Ketila. So the Ketzos assumes that the second way is correct. The Ketzos assumes that the nature of Rodef and Bava Machteres is the type of a Kamei V'Drahmanei of the highest order. It's a type of Kamei V'Drahmanei that the person mamish paid already. It means he literally paid. He was found to be guilty. Not the Bezin found him, but the circumstances found him to be guilty. He was nitan l'atzila b'nafsho. He was subject to mamish being killed on the spot. It's ke'ilu who was put to death already. He had a tchis ha'mesim and got out of the machteres. But al pi din, he was already considered to be like he was chayav misa. And as chayav misa, it's as if he paid. Once you invoke that type of chayav misa as if he paid, then all questions of chayav atzeis de shemayim are off. All possibilities of tfis are off as well. So the Ketzel says that he thinks that's the emzei answer to that Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. So again, putting together all the different pieces of the puzzle, what the Ketzos has told us is that you have to always analyze when you're discussing Kamei V'Drahmanei, you have to ask a lot of questions. You have to ask which type of Kamei V'Drahmanei are we talking about. Are we talking about Mezidin or Shogin? So that's one issue you have to do in the Vara. Then you have to ask yourself, well, do Mezidin and Shogin work the same way? So the Ketzos, the Mashal, claim no. One works with Torahs. The Onesh HaKal was Nichla, but the Onesh HaChomer, and one works as a poter. That's a different method, different methodology of Kamei V'Drahmanei. Then you have to ask a third question. Which one of these two is Rodef Bava Machteres closer to? So if you put together all these three different parts, then you can begin to put together the pieces of this sugya. So I've kind of direct tells. And just as a Ha'ar Ba'alma, the Ketzos is trying to salvage Rashi. He's trying to salvage Rashi in Maseches Bava Metzia, because Rashi is the one who says that Tfisa works by Kamei V'Drahmanei. The problem is that Rashi himself, in Sanhedrin, on the Mishnah about Bava Machteres, so Rashi invokes Tana de Vechizkiya. Rashi himself writes that the reason why Bava Machteres is subject to Kamei V'Drahmanei is dafka because of Tana de Vechizkiya. The Yad Ramah happens to disagree. The Yad Ramah says the other way. The Yad Ramah is the one who calls the Bava Machteres Chayav Misas Mezidin. So it's a beautiful shekel Torah for the Ktzais, but it may work in and of itself, but to salvage Rashi, it's very difficult, because Rashi himself doesn't go down that route. Rashi himself doesn't seem to treat the Bab Machteres to that level of Kimlu Dramine that Ke'ilu the Einish HaChomer has already been accomplished. So Chopanim, every time we see a sugya of Kimlu Dramine, particularly as it plays out in terms of Rodev, so we have to always ask ourselves, what type of a Kimlu Dramine are we really dealing with? There is another somewhat of a tricky aspect of applying Kavod Ramine in the Sugya of Rodev, and that's based on the Gemara in the second parak of Maseches Bava Kamma. Gemara quotes a famous machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about how to understand the parasha in the Torah of Eish. The Torah says that if I set a fire and it goes and it spreads and burns down somebody's house, so I have to pay for that. That everyone agrees with the Pasim Chumash. The machlokes of Yochanan and Shlokish is, how do we understand that conceptually? Do we say that Isha Mishim Chitzav or Isha Mishim Amoinon? Do we say that it's as if I shot an apple, I'm an Adam HaMazik, as if I literally, I've been my own Yadayim, through my Koach, I burnt down the person's house, that's an Adam HaMazik? Or do we say, no, Isha Mishim Amoinon, it's like my animal that went out and caused damage. Either way, I'm going to be chayv. There's no machlokes whether I'm chayv. The Torah says, Kisei Tzei Eish, the Torah says I'm chayv Eish, but we're not quite sure is if the Torah is Isha Mishim Chitzav as an arrow, Adam HaMazik or not. So the Gemara trying to resolve this machlokes quotes a Mishnah in a little bit later on in Bava Kamma, where the Mishnah talks about a person who is Malikas HaGodesh, a person lights somebody else's property, lights his pile of grain, and the fire spreads, and the person has an Evet Kenayni who happens to be tied up right by the Godesh, right on the farm, right by the grain, and Nebuch the Evet dies in the process of this fire. So the Mishnah, the whole discussion, what's the din going to be? Am I going to be chayiv to pay for the Gadish or not? So the Mishnah basically applies the rule of Kamav Dramine. The Mishnah says, I don't have to pay because I'm Madagas HaGadish, the Hargas HaEved, so I killed the Eved, I'm chayiv Misa for killing the Eved. Since I'm chayiv Misa for killing the Eved, therefore I don't have to pay for the Gadish. That's how the Mishnah presents. So the Gemara says, oh, this seems to be a raya for Rabbi Yochanan. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Isha Mishim Chitzav means that it's literally the Adam Hasorev, Adam Oses Eish. So then presumably I should be chayav misa for this as a ratzach as well. According to Reish Lakish, who holds that Yimashim Amono, so why should I be chayav a ratzach? My animal kills somebody, I'm not chayav as a ratzach. I'm chayav other things, but I'm not chayav as a ratzach. So the Gemara makes this clear. The Gemara says, Bishlam l'Rabbi Yechanan, I understand the Mishnah. Mishnah reads beautifully, Bishlam l'Rabbi Yechanan, the regular din of Kamal Ramane applies over here. According to Reish Lakish, it's a big problem. So the Gemara tries to resolve that problem. So the Rashba on the spot is bothered with the question, what do you mean Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan? It sounds like the Mishnah reads smoothly according to Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't read smoothly at all. Those who remember the sugyas of Kamav Dramine from last year will remember one of the basic principles of Kamav Dramine is that it has to happen with Vas Achas, that the Chiyuv Misa has to happen at the same time the Chiyuv Mamon comes. And therefore the Rashba was assuming that means it literally has to happen with Vas Achas. If either one precedes the other, so that's not going to be Kamav Dramine. So that's actually a big machlokes. Because we showed them, those who remember also from last year, those who Mashiach, we spent some time talking about that last year, but the Rashba is assuming that it means literally Bivas Achas. Therefore, the Rashba is bothered with the question, when the person is Mavdik as a Gadish, he's not yet a Ratzeach. He burnt the Gadish, and the Ratzich is not happening for a while. So comes the Rashba and says, why is that called Kamav Dramine? Why is it Bechlau called Kamav Dramine? It's not Bivas Achas. To which Rashba says, you're right, this is not the Kamav Dramine of Ritzeach. The timing is incorrect. This is the Kamav Dramine of Rodev. Because at the time when he lights the Gadish, so he's a Rodev already. There's an Eved a few feet away who's tied up. So if I see a guy light a Gadish and I see, naturally the wind's going to take, it's going to cause the death of the Eved, so I'm already Bitaris Rodev, so I'm already Gidal Atzla Benavshi, they can already kill me. So that's the din of Kamav Dramine. So when the Gemara said Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, it wasn't referring to the Chi of Ritzich. The Chi of Ritzich isn't until later, that's already too late for Kamav Dramine to kick in. The Gemara was referring to the din of Kamav Dramine of Rodev. So the problem with the Rashba is then, what was the Kashan Reish Lakish? The Gemara says Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Reish Lakish, it's a problem. Why is it a problem according to Reish Lakish? He's the same Rodev, whether you hold Isha Mishim Chitzo, Isha Mishim Amono, it's the identical type of a Rodev, the same danger, the person's going to die, whether a Pidin, he died, Bataras Chitzo, Bataras Mamono. So why, if you're already invoking the din of Rodev, why does this depend upon the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So Rabbi Chaim Oizer, the Sefer Achiezer, suggests that maybe the answer to this question is as follows, that although the person is a Rodev, Bein Lefi Rabbi Yochanan, Bein Lefi Reish Lakish, but it's a different type of a Rodev. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a rodef who not only do we have to take out the rodef to protect the nirdav, but we're taking out the rodef with Torah's onesh as well. Because Rabbi Yochanan is isha mishum chitzo, so the person is an adam haratzeach. He's killing somebody, it's like shooting a gun, it's like shooting an arrow. So he's killing somebody as the mamash is a ratzeach. So when you take out the life of somebody as a rodef who is basically doing an act of ratzicha, that's a rodef with Torah's onesh. That type of a rodef carries with it the dinim of kam levidramine. Masha'ein kein, according to Reish Lakish, also there's a din of rodef of you. Avadi, you can kill the person according to Reish Lakish, but you can't kill him with Torah's onesh, because according to Reish Lakish, that's not called ritzicha, that's called mamono shehemis. But you can kill him with Torah's pikuach nefesh, you can kill him with Torah's atzolos hanirdav. So says Reb Chaim Hoizer, taking out somebody with Torah's atzolos hanirdav may be true, but that's not going to become the dramine. So that's what the Gemara meant. Bishlam Rabbi Yechanan, that it's not only a din of rodef, but it's a rodef with Torah's onesh, that carries with it kum levidramine. She'ein kein l'Reish Lakish, it's a rodef with Torah's only atzolos hanirdav, that's not going to bring with it a kum levidramine. Moshe L'mad Davidonis, Reb Chaim Hoizer says, there's a din of a Moses. If a person who runs around telling everybody he's going to go be Moses, somebody's mamon, to the goyim in a situation where we're afraid that if he goes then he's going to be Moses, somebody's mamon, the next thing you know he's going to be Moses, somebody's goof as well. So the Gemara seems to say he takes on the status of a rodef. So comes Reb Chaim Hoizer and says he takes on the status of a rodef, and the din is nita latzil b'nafsho. But the din is that a Moser has to pay. If we catch the Moser, say he's Moser, somebody's Mamon, so we paskin, did it the Gamriel, we paskin that he has to pay. So we ask Reb Chaim Hoizer, what does he have to pay for? Why don't we say, come with Ramine? So the answer is that this type of a rodef of a Moser, this is not a rodef of an onshin. The fact that we can take out the life of the Moser, we're not being manish him, because he's not doing a Maiser Ritzicha. He's words. If you kill someone with your words, that's not called a Maiser Ritzicha. That's a Gromma, the Gromma, the Gromma. That's not a Maiser Ritzicha. So comes Reb Chaim Hoizer and says, that even if we want to equate a Moser with a Rodef, it's not the Rodef who's subject to Onshin. He's the Rodef, it's like Reish Lakish's Rodef. He's the Rodef who's taken out Latzolos HaNirdav, but not the Torah's Onshin. So when you take somebody out, not the Torah's Onshin, then the din of Kibbutz and Grammy, they don't apply. So Koponim, again, we just try to give a little bit of Rashi Parakim. When you take a look at the sugyas, in the middle of the 8th parak, start to see the sugyas of Rodei from Kamud Ramine and Machteras. So you have to ask a few of these basic questions. Are we talking about Dinim of Onshin? Are we talking about Dinim of Tzolosa Nirdof? What kind of Kamud Ramine are we talking about? Are all kinds of Kamud Ramine the same? Does this impact upon the Chivil Tzeisi Shemayim? Not the Chivil Tzeisi Shemayim. Every time you see a situation of a Rodev, are we talking about a type of Rodev, which is a Rodev that is doing a Maiser Ritzicha, and therefore is subject to an Onesh, or are there really two kinds of Rodev? There's a Rodev Petoras, Rotzeach, who is subject to Onshin. Perhaps there's another lower level type of a Rodev, who's only able to be taken out Petoras Atzolos HaNirdav, and is going to impact on many of the Sugyas. So, Metz Hashem, those who are learning these Sugyas, this Prak, and this Parak, so we'll go through some of these Sugyas, and hopefully Metz Hashem see a little bit more of the Bi'arichas, some of the things that we try to touch base on today.